Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
This morning, folks, is our fourth message in our series entitled Come and See, Becoming an Inviting People. And we want to become a church here at NC4 whose very culture is constantly tuned and on the lookout to invite people to Jesus and this thing called the kingdom of God. And this morning, I'm going to make somewhat of an observation that the most entrenched impediment to people coming to Jesus and his kingdom is not necessarily sin itself. It's a false sense of satisfaction that sin can lull us into. Our culture isn't filled with people who necessarily hate God. Now, some people will say that, but you don't see it all too often where people are overtly saying, well, I hate God. But our culture is filled with people who simply feel that they don't need God, at least from their perspective. The connecting music this morning, if you were paid attention to it, was from the Traveling Wilburys. They're a super group that kind of blossomed in the 80s and the early 90s. It's forged by Jeff Lynne, the leader of a group called ELO. And the cut that we played this morning carries kind of a prophetic melody in a sense. The theme, going to the end of the line, this notion involves these aging rockers, some pretty cool guys, some classic guys. If you're into rock music, you may have heard of them. George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, Roy Orbison, and Bob Dylan. They're all singing away with a devil may care kind of glee about how good and easy life to happiness can be. Now, within a few years, interesting fact, after this album came out and was produced, Orbison died kind of prematurely. Then Harrison died kind of prematurely. And now Tom Petty died kind of prematurely. Now, Dylan and Lynn survived them. But one career that you don't want to pursue is selling life insurance to rock artists, right? It doesn't always work out. Now, I'm saying this because although I love the song, it embodies a culture that essentially says this. Existential threats aren't really real enough to pay attention to, and at the end of the day, we don't really need God. Now, we're called to invite people not merely to Jesus, but to invite people to leave a kingdom in which we are self-sufficient. Each one a king in order to come to a kingdom, in order to serve the king. And that can be kind of a daunting proposition at times. If we think we need to do this inviting, and we think we need to do it in our own strength, it can seem like a huge task. And by the way, people who think that they're spiritual or the religious in some way apart from Christ are the most difficult to reach. They bring religions or their secular gods to kind of suborn their lifestyle choices. And I want us for us to tackle this morning a parable that many of us are familiar with. And note here what Jesus has to say about God, about his kingdom, and a saturated and satisfied culture. The title of the message this morning, it is, Répondez, s'il vous plaît. I don't know why. Every time I say something French, I always have to go afterwards. So I might do that from time to time. All right? Répondez, s'il vous plaît. This is where we get the acronym RSVP, right? We are called to invite people. So this morning, I want us to really take a look at the Gospel of Luke in chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. Now, this same parable also appears in other places in Matthew 22, but we're going to be taking a look at Luke chapter 14, verse 16. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there. Just looking at the title of this message this morning, and Pastor Jack is the one who came up with the actual title, brings a sense of conviction to me, and I know many of us here, because NC4 has a reputation of great things, but not a reputation of always RSVPing. And all the admins in the building said, amen. All right, Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 16. It says, but he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. Now, in Matthew's rendition of this parable, Jesus begins it this way. He says, the kingdom of God can be compared to a banquet. The point is that Jesus is talking about the kingdom here, verse 17. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. It's important to understand that these guests who were being summoned had already previously accepted the invitation. Are you with me? Verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, well, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Now, can I point out here that if you're going to buy a field, you're not going to buy a field before you what? See it, right? You're not going to buy something, especially something so expensive, so valuable, without taking a look at it first. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. Now, does anybody know how many 5 yoke of oxen would be? Anybody know? 10. 5 yoke of oxen is 10. This is an extremely expensive purchase here. No one would ever go buy 5 yoke of oxen and not see them first. Verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I love this one, right? It's awesome. I'm married, sorry. Sorry, wife, you know how it goes. The wife's, you know. Listen, this is kind of interesting. Culturally, this is a misuse of what was known as the Holy War exemption in Deuteronomy 20, right? A lot of literary and biblical critics think that that's what's going on here. If you were married, you get excused from war, right? In certain situations. But to accept an invitation, folks, to someone's home and refuse the summons was a grave dishonor, especially in Israeli culture. But isn't it interesting that after 2,000 years, we can read these scriptures and still kind of see we're using the same excuses, right? I know I've been there from time to time. All right, verse 21. So the servant came and reported this matter to his master. Then the master of the house became angry, and that word there means furious, not just angry, furious. And he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and bring in the crippled and the blind and the lame. And I love this part. This is an intentional affront, folks, to those who refuse to come. Bringing in the crippled, the poor, the blind, the lame. The word for angry elsewhere here is actually translated wrath. Wrath. Verse 22. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. Verse 23. And the master said to the servant, go to the highways and the hedges. The hedges are the margins. Go to the margins and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. The word for compel is a spiritual compulsion, a spiritual pull. In Acts 20:22, Paul says, the Spirit compels me to go to Jerusalem. Verse 24, for I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall, watch this, taste my banquet. Shall taste my banquet. I love this idea, tasting the banquet of the kingdom of God and what that looks like. We're called to be an inviting people, but we're not just inviting them to come to an event. We're not just inviting them to come check out something that's going to make them feel good. We are inviting them to come and taste of this thing called the banquet of the kingdom. It's awesome. One target here in Jesus' parable is those who claim to be spiritual, but they don't have time for God or God's people. A second target of this parable is us. It's you and it's me. We are servants. We are sent to invite self-satisfied people who put us off with RSVP and then maybe never really turn up. And then the third target are those who neither know they are poor and marginal or discover by being invited that they are poor and marginal. They need God. They need to taste the banquet. I believe that we carry with us a notion concerning God's kingdom that undermines our desire, folks, to invite. We perceive the kingdom differently sometimes than Jesus does because we're human and we work from our flesh. It brings us to this first point this morning. Jesus characterizes the kingdom of God, and he does it as a rich feast. Not a simple buffet, not a snack, a rich feast. It's a wonderful image of this thing called the kingdom. Maybe that this is the reason one of our central sacraments is what? Communion. And communion is considered a meal. We lose that aspect sometimes. You know, growing up Catholic, when you go up and you take the wafer doesn't always feel like a meal. You know, I like the fact that we break bread and that we dip it in the wine, and there's a sustenance to that. Jesus said to the disciples, "With great longing, I long to take this meal with you." Then he said, "The next time we do this, it will be in the kingdom." Jesus saw the nature of the kingdom as my Father is giving a party and everyone is invited. There is wealth and there is grace and there is welcome here. It was a beautiful thing. And I have to ask this morning, how do we perceive the church and God's kingdom? Do we perceive it as something that's not quite what it's cracked up to be? Or do we perceive it as a feast where people can come, where they can taste, where they can take part in a banquet? And it's my contention this morning that that has to be our take as we become an inviting people. We have to change how we see that invitation. RSVPs are interesting, and now with social media, it gets even better. And with the increase of social media and our ability to send out those invitations to events, also comes the many potential opportunities to offend people by either not seeing those invitations, by accepting the invitation, and then not showing up, right? And there's a difference when, in my mind, I feel bad if somebody invites me to something and I don't come. I kind of can be a people pleaser sometimes. And I like to say yes, because saying yes makes people feel like you care about them and that, you know, you want to be part of what they're doing. And I always feel bad when I have to kind of say no. But I feel even worse when I accept an RSVP and then I forget to show up, right? And I feel like this morning, as we are moving towards becoming an inviting church, we have to understand that God is sending an RSVP. And that if God is sending an RSVP to you and to me, we better accept it. And then if we accept it, we better show up. And we have to invite people and RSVP for others as well to come to this thing called the banquet. Many times, folks, you know, I've been guilty of some of my own mistakes in terms of God's RSVPs in my life. You know, I've prayed for them. Some examples, like I've prayed, for example, when I first got out of college and I wanted a teaching job, I said, "Lord, give me a teaching job. I'll do anything, Lord. I don't care what it is. Just give me an opportunity. I want to get into a teaching job." And I prayed specifically. I said, "Father, I'd like to get a job teaching 10th grade, and I'd like to be in the Bethlehem area school district, at either Freedom or Liberty." Well, God heard my prayer. And the first teaching gig I took over was from somebody who actually was a long-term. Back in the day, they used to have VOTEC, right? How many people know the vocational technical school? All right? And it's changed and it's grown. They have wonderful programs there now. And when I was there, though, it was kind of a dumping ground for kids that couldn't make it in the high schools. And if the counselors and the principals didn't know what to do with these kids, a lot of times they just sent them to the VOTEC. The first teaching gig that I had that was long-term was at the VOTEC. And it was 10th grade. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, right? God got me in the district. But it was some of the most rough, crazy, intense kids that you've ever met in your life. One of the classes I taught was about 20 15-year-old boys. There wasn't one female in the class, and these were tough kids. A lot of them were from New York, Jersey, and Philly, and they didn't think too keenly of me or anything related to school, all right? If I would have had hair back then, I would have lost it quickly. I remember coming home from work just feeling this surreal sense of, like, what just happened, okay? Like, it was so emotionally intense. And I was like, "Lord, what is going on?" And it didn't take long for me to feel frustrated, for me to feel like I wanted to quit. So many people would go to the VOTEC and wouldn't last a day, let alone a week. I stuck it out for a while, and then God started doing something. But you see, I prayed for an RSVP to come, and then it came, and then I didn't really want to accept it at first, you know? And I wasn't happy with the RSVP. But I found out quickly that God doesn't really care so much as to what I think the invitation looks or sounds or feels, what I think it should be, the RSVP from God is always on point because it's fueled by His Holy Spirit. And that difficult job became a catalyst for so many other things. And when I got there, they were kind of reevaluating the program, whether they should have English and science and math at the Votech or not. And they were expecting to walk into my classroom, you know, seeing the teacher kind of tacked up on the wall or something. But that didn't happen. And I was able to teach these kids and create rapport with these kids, and the Lord started to use me there. And when it came time for my tenure to be over there, I was walking out to the parking lot. I heard somebody calling my name, and there was the principal of the Votech begging me not to leave. Now listen, it wasn't because I'm a great teacher, but it was because I allowed the Lord to shape me and mold me and to use me as a vessel in an RSVP that I didn't think at first was really from Him or wasn't sure. Do you understand? Time and time again in my life, I've seen this happen. You know, when I was thinking about going to college, I didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't have a great plan, but I was asking and praying for an RSVP. But then the RSVP came, Philadelphia Biblical University. It was not my first choice. I wasn't even interested in it. And thank God my mother made me get out of bed and go to the first day to visit because I was kind of dragging my feet. But when I got there, I started to feel the sense of the Holy Spirit. And I heard about the youth program there and the Bible program there. And I got into education there and the Lord took off with it. But I'll tell you what, I did not want that RSVP. Okay? But I took it. And God moved in it. When I was the youth pastor here, 14 years I was the youth pastor. I took over this youth group, and man, it was a little crazy at first. You know, I jumped right into this program. Nick Westgate and I ran with this thing, and we prayed, Lord, bring kids. Lord, bring kids. Father God, open up the doors of this community. Bring kids. And then the doors of the community opened up, and like almost half the youth group became neighborhood kids. And then I'm like, Lord, take these kids away. What are you doing? This is too hard, you know? Listen, we have to be open to get the RSVPs that God is saying in our lives. Répondez, s'il vous plaît. And the next time an RSVP comes from the Holy Spirit, just say, Lord, répondez, s'il vous plaît, ha-ha-ha, and God will move. Maybe keep the ha-ha-ha out, though. You know, when people feast and they dine and they taste a banquet, it's not just to bring sustenance. There's many people out there, and maybe you had a grandparent or somebody like this, who shows love by cooking. They show and express their feelings for you by the food that they put on your plate. How many people had a relative like that, right? And it's pretty cool. And I didn't always understand this, but my grandmother on my dad's side, she was a fantastic cook. And I may have mentioned this another time in a preach, but her cooking and her food just changed my life, you know what I'm saying? And like, it didn't matter what she made. Whatever she made was not just good, it was great. And it could be chicken parmesan. She would make Italian hoagies that would put Wawa or anybody else around here to shame. I don't even know what she did, but her hoagie was better than any other hoagie I had. She would make iced tea, and there'd be just a little bit of pulp in it, just enough, and the pulp would pop in your mouth. Woo! It was so good. Everything my grandmother made was awesome. My parents were divorced, and I would have visiting rights with my dad, and I'd be at his house every other weekend, and we'd stay at my grandmother's house. My grandmother would always cook. She'd always feed us, and she loved to do it. Now, she'd never actually sit down and eat herself. Why? Because when she was cooking, what was she doing? Sampling this, sampling that. I said, Grammy, aren't you going to eat? No, I'm sampling. I was sampling. You know, she's always sampling, you know. That's how you know. Listen, all her recipes were handwritten. And when she passed away, my sister got a hold of them. She's like, I'm getting Grammy's recipes. I'm going to keep replicating everything. And then she looked at the recipes, and it was like a little salt. a bit of butter. My sister's like, how much is a bit? You know? She was able to graft some of those recipes in, but there were some that, like, there ain't no way we're doing it. Because, like, just Grammy knew, you know? And a good cook knows, and she shows their love for you or his love for you by the way that that food is on the plate. When I was a teenager, I sat down one day, and my grandmother made chicken paprikash. All right? It's this really good chicken platter that's kind of creamy, and I did not like it. You know, I hated it. Everybody else loved it. I did not like chicken paprikash. The texture, I didn't like it. And the food's in front of me and I wasn't eating the plate. My grandma said, what's wrong? I said, I'm not really that hungry. And my dad's like, Michael, you have to eat. And I said, I don't like this. I was like, I'm not gonna eat this. I don't like it. I don't like chipped paprikash. I just don't think it's good. And then I looked over and my grandmother puts down her fork and gets up quickly and goes into a room and shuts her door. And my dad said, get to your room. You're grounded. I said, why? He said, get to your room. I went into my room. I was in there for a little bit and I'm like thinking, what the heck just happened? You know, why did Grammy get so mad? My dad came in. He said, Michael, you don't understand something. That's not just food on the plate. That's love on the plate. All right. And you just offended your grandmother. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize, you know. So I went to Grammy and I apologized. I said, Grammy, you're the best cook in the world, you know. And after that, I ate the chicken paprikash with a smile, okay? Listen, a feast doesn't just bring sustenance, it brings love. And it's an expression of love. And God's kingdom, God's RSVP for us to come and taste his banquet is not just about sustenance. It's not just about feeling good. And it's not just about getting information. It's about plugging in and inviting people to come and taste an expression of his love. And once they come and they taste that expression, it's going to be like Grammy's food. It's going to be the best ever, and nobody's going to be able to replicate it. Amen? It leads us to this thought this morning in terms of being an invitational church. I can accept his invitation to the kingdom of God. I can say yes to that. I can say yes to the RSVP, but then I can still reject his call. And it's interesting that in the parable, the Lord of Feasts doesn't seek to punish those who refuse his summons. The mere fact that they don't taste the kingdom constitutes punishment in and of itself. But they are too simply dim-witted to know that. I know it sounds harsh, but it's true. There's this custom in the Middle East. It's called the custom of double invitation. In Israel, when somebody gave a feast and the invitation went out long beforehand, they were either accepted or they were not accepted. Some kind of RSVP was in play. Afterwards, near the time when the feast was completely prepared, the guests were honorably summoned. To have accepted that invitation and then not show up was a deep, deep dishonor. And that's what's going on here in this parable. And just so that we are aware, when we are sent by God to give the invitation to his kingdom, there is no limits to the pretenses that people will create in order to ignore God. You may have heard these pretenses in discussions with people. Well, I'm Catholic. I go to church. Some people say, I'm Buddhist. And then if you ask them, you know, what it really means to be Buddhist and, you know, the whole idea of, like, you know, turning away from self-gratification, maybe I'm not Buddhist anymore. You know, some people say, well, listen, I'm a good person. All right, I'll get to church, so I'm a good person, I'm good, to go. And we as Christians sometimes, we can make these pretenses too. I've done it too. Look it, my son plays football, okay? And I made the mistake of signing him up and just turning a cheek when the games were on Sunday mornings. I regretted it. My wife and I have always kind of like kept Sunday's church time away from sports. And with this one time, we didn't do it. And my son said to me one day on the way to practice, Dad, don't we have church today? And I was like, yeah, we do, buddy. And he goes, then why are we going to football? And I was like, dang. My son's convicting me, you know. Listen, I'm not trying to be harsh. I do understand the craziness of everyone's schedule. And God is a God of grace and mercy. But listen, we got to knock off the pretenses. We got to knock off the pretenses. See, the most toxic excuses, folks, in life are the ones that we fool ourselves into. And it's easy to do it. As we go out and we invite others to this thing called the kingdom, there is a kingdom principle that we can absolutely every time rely on. You have no doubt heard this old adage. It says this, nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. Well, let me point out this. Grace, folks, abhors a vacuum. Grace abhors a vacuum. God is a God of grace, and he is a God of justice. And grace abhors this thing called a vacuum. Our Lord is eternally determined to fill this place called his house, folks. Jesus said, I will build my what? Church. I will build my church. And the notion of church is a biblical notion. And church is a real physical place with people and relationships where you get dirty and down and nitty gritty. And it's not always wonderful and perfect. And the lights aren't always wonderful and perfect. And sometimes the sound goes wrong, the video goes wrong. We don't have enough people for Sunday school. And it can get incredibly frustrated. And it's beautiful. Because it's here and it's part of a family and it is a real physical place, this thing called the church. People want to make it something else. They want to use church as just this euphoric like word that's just out there. Well, I hang out with my friends, we go out for coffee, and that's church. That's relationship. That's part of being in the kingdom, but it's not church. It's not this, it's not here, it's not physical. Now listen, I'm not saying that church has to look exactly like New Covenant looks. But what I am saying is being part of a body and being part of relationships with one another is being part of an inviting church and being an invitational believer. And you can't invite somebody to a banquet and there not be a banquet. This is the banquet. The church is the vehicle. The physical body of Christ is the vehicle upon which the kingdom of God grows and spreads. Amen? And we are a part of it. And it might be messy, but it's awesome. Our family night coming up might look a little messy. We've never done this before, but that's okay because we're going to be together and we're going to do it together. We're going to make mistakes together, but it's going to be awesome because it's the vehicle of this thing called the church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss God's RSVP. Do you? When people exclude themselves from what God is doing, God enjoys replacing them. And a lot of times, one of the cool aspects of God is he replaced them, and he does it with outcasts. That's why I'm excited about the Eagles. As servants of Jesus, our job is to summon people to this thing called the call of God, the RSVP. If they refuse to respond to God's call, we have been faithful to our responsibility. But there is a responsibility. We are not the ones that who are being dishonored. The church and the kingdom nevertheless will be built, and according to the scriptures, it will be full when Jesus comes. But here's something to take heart. When we came to Christ as cripples, we came as the poor, we came as the marginals, most of us had no idea that we were that way. And you look throughout the course of the scriptures, and you tell me if I'm wrong, when you don't see poor, where you don't see outcasts, and you don't see marginals being used by God. It's the essence of who he is. If you are here this morning and you feel like a poor person, you feel like an outcast, you feel like an outlier, there is something called the good news of the gospels, and the good news is this: God has an RSVP for you this morning. He wants to use you. He loves to use you. If you're broken and messed up, hallelujah, get on board, because you're right where you need to be. Here's something else to take heart this morning. We came to Christ as marginals, and Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, "You say that you are rich, and you don't know that you're poor. Behold, check it out, I stand at the door and what? And knock. Let me come in. Let me come in. Let me come in." We serve a pursuing God. We serve a pursuing God. He is not waiting for us to be perfect to come to him. He is pursuing us. He is knocking at the door of our hearts, folks. Sometimes we just have to turn other people's ear to hear the knock. But if we don't turn the ear, they're not going to hear it. Let's turn their ears. Come on, because that lock is loud. It's loud. It's just muffled. It's loud. I took my son to the range yesterday. We were shooting. He couldn't hear much. And he said, "Can I take the earmuffs off, Dad?" Because they had called for like a timeout on the range, right? Sometimes if something happens, they need to clean up something or get something. They say, "Cease fire, cease fire." So Cade said, "Can I take these off?" And the range officer said, "No." He said, "You never, ever take off those muffled ears. You don't know when somebody's going to fire and you can get damage in your ears." Folks, listen. We cannot live our Christian lives this way. There is times where we need to protect ourselves and put those headphones on to protect ourselves from the ills of this world, the schemes of the enemy, or sometimes the attacks of other people who want to hurt us. But we can't keep those on forever. If we keep them on forever, then the knock will always be muffled in our lives and in the lives of others. And we cannot get people to hear the RSVP from God if we aren't willing to first take the earphones off our ears first. Amen? God is going to call people when the feast is ready for them. It's our responsibility to be looking to be used to help make that RSVP known. Check this out. We invite others, and then the Holy Spirit is the one who compels them to come. And as I said earlier, when the Lord of the harvest instructs the servant to go out to the hedges, to the highways, and compel people to come to the feast, everyone who enters the kingdom of God comes, and they come with an invitation. They have an invitation. There are many crippled and poor who don't appear crippled and poor, but they are crippled and poor, and they need to come to the feast, to the banquet, and they need to taste. All it takes to rock someone's self-satisfaction is one crisis. And people go through crises. You look around, folks, you are going to see broken people going through crises. Won't you please let them know that there is a banquet that they can come to? How marginal to kingdom things do we feel this morning? Before we invite people to Jesus, folks, let's take note of this last thought this morning. Sin doesn't keep us out of the kingdom, but our excuses do. Sin does not keep us out of the kingdom of God, but many times our excuses do. No one is excluded from the kingdom except as a consequence of their own choice. We seem as a church to be entering into kind of exciting time. God is moving. We're kind of trying to churn up the culture and the DNA here of New Covenant. There is a Holy Spirit buzz afoot. I want for us to keep this in mind. God says for us as well, come and what? See. Come and see. May that be our credo. May that be our heart. And may that be the essence of all that we say and all that we do in every opportunity, in our families, in our workplaces, in our relationships. Most of us have already RSVP'd, but will we answer the summons? Will we answer the summons? There is a little summons that I'd like to do this morning. So if y'all would just bear with me here and just bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to pray together. The Bible sends out a summons. And the Bible says that every man is without excuse. And sometimes when we know that and we understand that, it can be a little bit intimidating because who wants to tell people that they are going to be accountable before the Lord? But the Bible says, for since creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen so that every man is without excuse. We know that our sins have separated us from God. And the Bible says, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, and so that you will not hear, and you will not hear that knock. It's heavy stuff. But here's the good news. God has made a way back into this thing called the kingdom, and he has a banquet for you. He has a banquet for you to come and to taste. And if you've never tasted it, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he's brought us into his kingdom of the Son that he loves. We know that we are saved only by one thing. Not by our good works, not by our efforts, not by our ability to be perfect in the eyes of God. We are saved only by the blood of Christ. The Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, a gift that we do not deserve, that God in his love pours out to us. We need to invite him into our lives. There is an invitation here. There is an RSVP that is waiting. The Bible says, yet to all who has received him, to all those who call his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision, not of a husband's will, but born of God. And this morning, if you've never prayed and you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart for Jesus to come and change who you are. Whatever your reasons are this morning, whatever it is that's inhibiting you from coming to him, if it's something that you've believed in your life that somebody said to you, the words people have put over you, if it's been a curse over you, whatever it is, frustration, hypocrisy, the Lord is here and he has an invitation for you. And all it takes is for you to open up your heart to that RSVP. The summons is there. Will we take it this morning? I'm going to ask that if you've never prayed this prayer with me, if you've never prayed this prayer this morning for the first time, that you do it. I just want us to take 10 seconds to just clear our hearts before the Lord. Let's listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning. Folks, will you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong, for keeping my heart from you. This morning, I invite you into my life. Change me. Mold me. I want to be your child. I turn away from my sins, and I run to you. And I invite you to come into my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.